Please turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs, chapter number 6 tonight, and we're getting back into the series tonight from the book of Proverbs called Slothful or Successful. And in this series, we're contrasting two characteristics. First of all, laziness, and then diligence. And so up to this point, we've talked about that first negative characteristic of slothfulness or laziness. We talked about the symptoms of slothfulness, and then we talked about the situation of slothfulness. Both of them, a sorry situation and a sorry symptoms. But now we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about the contrasting positive virtue of diligence. And so I have two main points for this part of our study. We're going to talk about the demonstrations of diligence. First of all, what a diligent person looks like, how a diligent person behaves. That's the demonstrations of diligence as described in the Word of God. And then secondly, we will also take a look at the delights of diligence, what the Bible has to say about the blessings of living a diligent life. And so we're getting to that tonight. And first of all, tonight, we're going to be focusing on the demonstrations of diligence. I have seven of them total for you, but I'm not going to get to all seven of them this evening. It's my goal for tonight to cover the first five of the seven and then to finish that up the next time we're in this particular series. All right, so five of the first of the seven demonstrations of diligence. These are the characteristics that would be exemplified by a diligent person. Here is number one. Demonstration number one of diligence is working hard to complete projects on time. Working hard to complete projects on time. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 5 says, "He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame." All right, so a slothful person is shamefully sleeping when he should be out working. On the other hand, a diligent person is out working while the sluggard is sleeping. He's up and at him. He gets right to his work, and he gets the job done on time. He understands that in harvest, for example, and that's the illustration that's used here in this verse, of the work of harvesting your crops. He understands that in harvest you have a certain window of time in which to get your crops gathered in before winter comes. And so not only is this diligent, wise person out in the fields working hard to get a job done, but he's out there at the right time. He's out there getting the job done before the opportunity is lost. And that the Bible describes as the wisdom of diligence. That's wisdom. It's a diligent type of wisdom. It is also the wisdom of the ant. Would you look at Proverbs again, chapter number 6? We looked at these verses a few weeks ago, but I want you to see again the example of the ant, because the Bible sets up this tiny little insect, the ant, as an example for the slothful person to consider. Verse number 6 of Proverbs 6, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest." So the ant is also out there gathering food at the right time. The ant is a hard worker, and the ant gets a job done in the proper time frame, doesn't waste any time, and folks, neither should we. Okay, this is a characteristic that the Word of God holds up for us to emulate. We can even see it in the world of creation, in the little ant. God commends the diligence and the hard work of the ant, and He commends that to us as well, that we would be diligent in that same way. So the first characteristic of diligence, demonstration, working hard to get a job done on time. Number two, demonstration number two, showing frugality and efficiency in managing resources. Showing frugality and efficiency in managing resources. This is where it gets a little bit more interesting. Proverbs 12, verse 27 says, "The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. The word precious there means rare or valuable. And so, in other words, a diligent person values what he owns, what he possesses, and he does not allow it to go to waste. Now, if you remember from what we've already learned, waste is a type of laziness, okay? We've already learned that fundamentally a lazy life will be a wasted life. Being wasteful is a sin, just like being slothful is a sin, because most of the time, at least oftentimes, waste results from just not caring enough to make the effort to wisely steward the resources that God has put into your hands. Folks, if God has given you some resources, if He has entrusted you with some things, that is a stewardship. And wise stewardship manages resources with frugality and efficiency. Now, the example of waste that we're given here in this particular verse is the example of wasting food. That's what a slothful man does, right? It says he roasteth not that which he took in hunting. That means he goes out, he hunts, he kills an animal, he brings it home, maybe he dresses it and butchers it and puts it away, and then he allows the meat to spoil. He never eats it. He never puts it to good use. That's the example of waste that we're given here in this verse. And so if I'm just going to make this little application right here, because the truth of the matter is that we as Americans waste a lot of food. As a matter of fact, we throw away tons of food. In most homes, a significant percentage of food that is carried into the house goes back out in the trash. In many cases, for every 3 bags of groceries that you carry into the house, 1 bag of groceries goes back out in the trash. Did you realize that? He said, oh, Pastor, I don't really know if that's true. Well, I found some statistics for you, okay? I found some statistics. Here's an article in the Christian Science Monitor, and it says that the average American family throws away $2,275 worth of food every year. The average American family. As a country, they say we're losing 40% of our food from farm to fork. 40% is being wasted and never eaten. Another article in USA Today says that as Americans, we throw away more than a third of our food. It's an average of $371 per person per year. Now, you think about that. I believe that's a sin. I believe it's poor stewardship. I mean, if you're spending $100 a week on food, let's just say that's your grocery budget. That's probably not a very large grocery budget, but let's say you're spending $100 a week on food and you throw away a third of the food that you buy. That is like you're taking a match and you're burning up $30 in cash every single week. You might as well light a match and just burn it up and watch it disappear. And so just think for a moment about how much money you are throwing into the trash every time you clean out your freezer or your refrigerator. And I realize that sometimes food spoils before we can use it, and you know there's different before we realize it's spoiled, and yet much waste could be avoided if we made the effort. And so, folks, we have some very practical spirituality right here in this verse. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. He doesn't even try to wisely steward the resources that God has given to him. He just lets them go to waste because it just doesn't matter enough to him to even care. But on the other hand, a diligent person considers the possessions that he has, the substance that he has, as precious, as something to be wisely stewarded. And so, another demonstration of diligence is managing resources with frugality and efficiency. Very practical spirituality right there. Demonstration number 3 of diligence: approaching duties with planning and foresight. approaching duties with planning and foresight. Proverbs 21:5 says, "The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want." Again, here's a contrast, all right? So we have the diligent person being contrasted with a hasty person. What is a hasty person? That's a person who is in a hurry, right? All right, so part of being diligent is to not be hasty in your work, but to take the time to think about how to do a job properly and efficiently before you get started. Look at the word thoughts. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. That word thoughts means purposes or intentions. That's the idea. That's the kind of thoughts. I think it's talking about the advanced planning and preparation that you should do before jumping into a task. Probably most of us here at one time or another have jumped into a task without doing that kind of proper thinking ahead of time. But these are the kinds of thoughts that lead to plenty. That's what the Bible says. If you take the time to plan, to have forethought and all of that, then you're going to have an outcome of plenteousness. But on the other hand, if you do not plan, if you do not take the time, if you are hasty, then you're likely to waste your resources and to waste your opportunities and to have nothing to show for it in the end. So have you ever tried to do a job without reading the instructions or working out the details in advance? Probably, if truth be told, many of you never read the directions, right? I mean, you get a project, you're going to put together one of those little bookshelves you buy at Walmart or whatever it may be. And you buy it, you open it up, and here's all the parts and pieces, and here's this little piece of paper that they put in there. What's that for? That's the directions. Ah, I don't need that, I can do it all by myself. And then what happens? We get a little ways into it and realize, whoops, I left out a few steps, or I put it together the wrong way. You might get by, but then again, you might not. You might break something, okay? You might ruin the whole thing that you're trying to put together. I've certainly done that before. You might ruin a perfectly good piece of wood, for example, because you cut it too short, and now you can't use it in the project that you're working on. I'm thinking right now about some toys that I broke on Christmas that I was trying to put together for my kids. They brought them to me. Here, Daddy, that is some assembly required. You know what I'm talking about, right? And so, I don't really have much time to work on this, I just throw in, I'm sorry, honey, it's broken, that's just too bad. What is that? That's a waste. That's poor stewardship. So it's usually a good thing when you have a big, complicated job and you're thinking about it to do some planning and then follow the steps in the right order and not to get in a hurry. I guess what I'm saying here and what the scripture is saying here is that there is real virtue and value in organization and being organized and being planning and having thinking ahead about the issues that you're going to encounter as you work through that task and how you're going to resolve those issues and not just rushing ahead, because that is likely to result in want, in waste. Part of being diligent is to take the time and to make the effort to do a job right. That's diligence. That's a virtue that God holds up to us here in His Word as something that we should desire and we should cultivate in our lives. Let's go on to demonstration number four. Demonstration number four of diligence is prioritizing business before personal pursuits. Prioritizing business before personal pursuits. Proverbs 24:27. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. All right, so think about that. Look at it again. Prepare thy work without and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. What is that talking about? Well, thy work without in the field is talking about your work to earn a living. All right, so that's the idea that you're going out and you're working to earn a living. On the other hand, building your house is also a kind of work, but that's the kind of work that you do to make a nice home for yourself. And both of those kinds of work are profitable work. But there is a big difference between the two. And this is the difference. Working to earn a living means making money, and working to build a house means what? Spending money. All right, so what is the Bible saying here? But it says that before you start spending money on yourself, you'd better make sure that your living is well provided for, that your living is secure. You better make sure that money is going to be flowing in before it starts flowing back out. That only makes sense. That's just basic, very practical wisdom that describes a diligent approach to personal responsibility. Before you start spending, make sure you're making what you're spending. Now, I do think that there are a couple of broader applications here of this principle, though, that we need to make. I think that there are some principles here, a little broader application of the same principle. So here are two applications, and I meant to put these in your notes. I didn't put them in the notes, so you can just write them in the blank under the verse or whatever. And the first one is, this principle, I think, is taught in this passage of Scripture, other passages perhaps as well, and it's the principle of work before play. Work before play. Being diligent means taking the time to fulfill your duties before spending time on having fun and doing what you want to do. That's really what this verse is describing, because it's a whole lot more fun to build your house, isn't it? Because, I mean, that's your house. I mean, that's nice. That's what you want. And so it's just more fun, and that's why there would be a temptation to build your house before going out and doing your work in the field. But see, what the Scripture here is saying is, do your work before you do what is more fun, what is more personally pleasurable for yourself. So don't waste time on yourself that should be spent first on that profitable employment. Because if that becomes a habit, if you get in the habit of play before work, then you're going to waste opportunities for self-betterment that are going to leave you poor in the end. Those opportunities will pass you by. On the other hand, if you get your work done first, if you spend time, all right, working hard to improve yourself and to earn a living, then you will be in a position to legitimately relax from time to time and enjoy the fruits of your labor. All right, so if I could just make it very, very, very simple. Unemployed people can't afford to take nice vacations and build nice houses or relax on nice furniture, because they don't have the resources. They're not working first. And so if you want to be successful in life, you should make it a point of character and habit to work before play. I think that's something that we should teach our kids, all right? And there are lots of young people here tonight, and there are some parents here tonight, and so I think this is an important application right here. I think we should teach our kids that work comes before play. Homework comes before having fun. I know that's not that fun, young people. I know it's much more fun as soon as you get home to do what you want to do. What does the Bible say? Before you do what you want to do, do what you should be doing. All right, so homework before having fun. Practicing whatever you're supposed to be practicing, the piano, your speech, your instrument, whatever it might be, practicing before going outside to play. All right? Chores before fun time. Don't you love chores, young people? Isn't that a wonderful, blessed word? Chores! Oh, that's a great word. But you know what? chores should come first before having fun. And that's those are habits of diligence that will serve our young people in good stead for a lifetime. And let me just park on this for just a moment, if I may, okay? Because I realize tonight I am addressing issues of character. These are principles from the Word of God, from the book of Proverbs, which is a book of wisdom. And the book of Proverbs is chock full of very practical wisdom for life. And so we are talking here about character issues, but they're also spiritual issues. But one problem that we have today is that people just don't have much character. I mean, I work with people all the time, okay? And I've worked with many people over the years, and I've seen many examples of adults who had never formed basic character virtues that they really needed in order to be successful in life, such as, I do my work before I laze around and do what I want to do. All right, and so, you know, if adults do not have those basic virtues of character built into them by the time they're adults, you know what? That can be crippling to success in life. And that's really the topic. You're slothful or successful. I mean, are you going to just laze around and not fulfill the potential that God has given to you? Or are you going to make the most of the potential God has given you by being a steward of your life, a steward of your time, a steward of your ability, and a steward of good character? And so these are important issues, and as parents, we need to try to work hard to instill these virtues into our kids. We need to teach our kids how to work hard. There's an American senator who's written a book about the need to raise kids to work hard. I haven't read the book yet. I'm kind of interested in reading it at some point when I have time. But I think he's really onto something, because a lot of times today, parents feel like if I'm going to be a good parent, being a good parent means I protect my child from having to work. That's not really being a good parent. Being a good parent is teaching our children to work. And yes, there is a great connection to our young people learning how to work in their youth and being good workers for God later on. So work before play. And then here's the second application that I would like to make from this particular verse. I think a very important application, and that is service before self. Service before self. This is a spiritual application, and it makes sense, because if we should put our own work in front of our personal pursuits, then it only makes sense that we should also put the Lord's work in front of our own personal pursuits as well. All right, that's what I'm talking about here. And do you remember what the prophet Haggai told the children of Israel? In the restoration, when they had been brought back to the land, there's a whole book of the Bible that really deals with this, the book of Haggai. I preached a sermon out of it a couple of years ago in our stewardship month. But God sent Haggai to the people of Israel because they were supposed to be rebuilding the temple, and yet the temple was lying there. It wasn't being worked on. In fact, they were taking the materials that were intended for the temple, and they were using them to build nice houses for themselves. And God says, have you noticed? I haven't been blessing you lately. I mean, you're working hard and you're not getting ahead, and you're making money and you're putting into a bag with holes. It's the bag with holes syndrome. And God said the problem is a problem of priorities. I'm not blessing you because you're doing your own thing. You're living for self before your proper service for God. I am your last priority instead of being your first priority like I should be. And so Haggai exhorted the people. Listen, you guys need to get, you guys, that's in the Hebrew, okay? He said, you need to get this fixed. You need to build the house of God and then see if God won't pour down a blessing upon you. And of course, they did rise up and they did what God told them to do. And then God sent a second message, I am with you. So there's a very important principle here, and I think this is an appropriate development of the principle in this particular verse, Proverbs 24, 27. Just like the children of Israel neglected the temple to build their own houses, I'm afraid that in much the same way we get busy building our own houses, tending to our own projects, instead of tending to our proper service in the house of the Lord. Instead of investing ourselves in other people, instead of investing effort and time perhaps in our church house, the house where the house of God meets, okay? The church house is the building, the church is the people, okay? And this is the church house, the house where the church meets. So folks, it's not a good testimony, and I've shared this in the past, it's not a good testimony for the church house to fall into disrepair and to show signs of obvious neglect while we are spending plenty of money on our own personal home improvements. We're putting lots of effort and time into our own houses, and yet the house where the church meets, that is a testimony to the community, perhaps is falling into disrepair. And I realize we've been doing a lot of work on our church house here lately, so I'm not saying that we should be doing more necessarily. I'm not trying to rebuke anybody. I'm just trying to develop this principle here in the Scripture. There is an issue of stewardship and diligence in the Lord's work. The general principle of the diligent Christian life is service to God and others before service to myself. And yet, how often do we get those two things turned around? We serve God and others if we have any time left over after we serve ourselves. The Scripture says, before you do the things that you want to do, make sure you do your proper work. And that would include your proper work for Jesus Christ. It's not just a practical principle upon which to build a successful life. It's also a spiritual principle upon which to build a fruitful life. If you want to be a fruitful believer, there is a dying to self involved. And there are many passages of Scripture that teach that principle, like the one in the book of John where the Lord Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. The Lord Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. And this is one of the ways that we deny ourselves, by saying, I'm not going to just make my life about me and about what I want to do. But as the book of Philippians says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But there can be many different reasons and motives for serving and for doing the things that we do. But this is a way to build a fruitful life that God can bless. Work before play, service before self. God's priorities before our priorities. Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice Jesus didn't say, but seek ye second the kingdom of God. Seek ye third the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God if you feel like you have time, if you want to do that. No, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. Put God's kingdom, God's work, God's priorities, God's agenda on planet Earth in front of your desires, in front of your pleasure, in front of your priorities, in front of your desires. That is the life that God will bless. So there's a matter of priorities there. But let's go on then to number 5, and we'll finish up for tonight. Demonstration of diligence, number 5. Working instead of wasting time in idle conversation. Working instead of wasting time in idle conversation. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Penury is poverty. All right, so the contrast here is between somebody who is working and somebody who is talking when he or she should be working. All right, so if you are working, the Bible says, that is good, that's profit, in labor, in work, there is profit. There's value in that. But if you are talking when you're supposed to be working, the result of that is poverty. It'll be poverty for you and or your employer. That person that has put you on the clock and is paying you to work, which is one reason why most bosses really don't appreciate it when their employees are talking, shooting the breeze while they're on the clock. Now, of course, it is not always wrong to spend time talking to people, okay? That's not what this verse says. You should never talk to people. That's not what the verse means. It's talking about talking when you're supposed to be working. As a matter of fact, sometimes it might actually be your job to talk to people. That might be what you're supposed to be doing, the right work that you're supposed to be doing. Or you can talk to people on your own time. It can be a recreational activity. Just remember, in a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. But folks, we should not be wasting time in idle conversation if we're being paid for our time. That's where it becomes an issue of character. It becomes an issue of testimony. It becomes an issue of diligence. It is not diligence to be talking when you're supposed to be and you're being paid to be working. That is slothfulness, and that is laziness, and that is a poor testimony. So the first five of seven demonstrations of diligence that we see here in the book of Proverbs. Next week we're going to talk about two more of them, and then we're going to go on to the delights of diligence. Let's just consider these first five again. Here they are, okay? Five demonstrations of diligence that we talked about tonight. Working hard to complete projects on time, showing frugality and efficiency in managing resources, approaching duties with planning and foresight, prioritizing business before personal pursuits. Number five, working instead of wasting time in idle conversation. So the question is, are these five demonstrations of diligence on display in your life as a believer? You getting your assigned work done in a timely fashion? Are you always running late on your assignments? Are you working hard not to waste valuable resources, or are you a wasteful person because you're a slothful person? Are you taking time for appropriate planning before you start a job, or is your attitude, I don't really have time for planning and all that kind of stuff? That's not very important. Are you putting your service for the Lord Jesus Christ above serving yourself? A very important question we should be asking ourselves. Are you putting proper work before pleasure and personal goals? And then lastly, are you avoiding the temptation to waste time in idle conversation when you're on the clock or you're supposed to be working? One reason that God has given us the book of Proverbs is to help us to build this kind of very practical, godly character that will allow us to glorify God in everything that we do. And so really, that's what we've been talking about tonight. We've been talking about how to glorify God in the way that we approach our work and our personal responsibility. And so if the Lord has revealed to you tonight any deficiencies in character in your life, if they've been revealed in the light of His Word tonight, I want to encourage you to determine to be different by the grace of God and be diligent then, okay? Be diligent to put your new determination into action without delay. All right, let's bow our heads.